Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
When you take a little time, as Mark says, the colors start mixing into each other. The white doesn't feel so white. You even start noticing the floaties in your own eyes. Essentially, there's a lot to look at. And still, people pass these pieces by, wondering why a blank canvas is in a museum and feeling kind of pissed off about it.
Whatever your stereotype of the most self-righteous, dogmatic, judgmental, finger-wagging, on the soapbox, haranguing vegan, that was who I was for a period.
But if you're a keen foreign observer and you actually want to figure out, how can I get to America? Our political dysfunction is our soft underbelly.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast, Start Here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with the podcasts we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to Start Here. From blank pieces of paper hung on the wall to a pile of bricks in the center of a room, modern art can be confusing. You probably have a lot of questions about art in the contemporary world. What does it mean? Who decides what is art and what isn't? Could I be a modern artist? Well, have no fear, because we've got a podcast that's here to help. From WNYC Studios and the Museum of Modern Art, A Piece of Work is a podcast for all your burning modern art questions. Hosted by comedian and Broad City star Abby Jacobson, A Piece of Work explores everything from pop art to performance art in lively conversations with curators, artists, and friends, including Hannibal Buress, RuPaul, and Questlove. If you ever wondered how a painting of dozens of Campbell's soup cans became one of the most famous works in the world, A Piece of Work is the podcast for you. This is a sample from one of 10 episodes in the series called Minimalism to the Max. In the episode, Abby is joined by artist Mark Joshua Epstein and Flavin Judd, the son of the famous minimalist artist Donald Judd, as she learns about the purpose hidden behind the oversimplicity of minimalist artwork. In this snippet, Abby and Mark use a famous piece by minimalist Joubert to construct a better understanding of what effect minimalism attempts to create.
And that's kind of what this whole podcast is about. It's okay to not know exactly what the art means, or what was going on historically, or even the artist's intention. Your experience with art is exactly that, yours. Again, like when I look at this piece by Joubert, I feel like it's giving me a moment, some space to think and process. And the more my eyes go back and forth between these three paintings, the colors engage and ignite my brain. And it turns out Joubert studied psychology and worked towards a master's degree specifically on perception. So these paintings, each one white with those thin bands of color, they have a funny way of messing with your eyes.
These, you know, look really simple, but they weren't really simple. To get them really perfect took a lot of effort. And so that's interesting to me. But I think if you can get a group to actually stand in front of this work and spend 30 seconds or a minute just looking, often people will start to have experiences. Like, they'll realize that the magenta band and the green band and the blue band are the same value, and they have the same amount of white in them. It starts to do things to your eye.
So these pieces are deeper than they look. When you take a little time, as Mark says, the colors start mixing into each other. The white doesn't feel so white. You even start noticing the floaties in your own eyes. Essentially, there's a lot to look at. And still, people pass these pieces by, wondering why a blank canvas is in a museum and feeling kind of pissed off about it.
And that is a win for Joubert. Joubert wins. If she can make paintings, you know, 50, 60 years ago that are still really pissing people off, I feel like she was onto something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what you as an artist kind of dream of, that someone spends enough time in front of something to have a feeling or a thought, even if it's a negative one.
That's true. You want a reaction. You want to get people to take a second look. If it pushes buttons, it's doing something right. And as a woman making art in the 1960s, that was especially important. It was a way to say, I'm here, I've got something to say, listen the fuck up.
Things were not easy for women painters. Things are not easy for women painters now, right, by the way. But she was, like, she was kicking ass. So she, you know, basically, she gets lumped in with the minimalists. She's showing with Donald Judd and Saul LeWitt and all these other folks. And then Donald Judd and other people start to say, actually, paintings are not minimalism. Like, a painted object is not minimalism. And she writes a letter to Art Forum that's like, you're out of your motherfucking mind, you know? She's like, this, I am making minimalism. So she was just like, she was, you know, she was on it. She was like, her, Lee Krasner, they were these women who just were not taking any bullshit.
From the podcast, A Piece of Work, with Abby Jacobson. Get all your modern art questions answered and have fun doing it with A Piece of Work, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. New to the Podcast Central collection this week comes The Stoop, a podcast for stories from the Black diaspora. Journalists and hosts Layla Day and Hannah Baba dig into stories about what it means to be Black and how we talk about Blackness, as they create meaningful conversations around topics not always discussed in the open. The stories are real and rich, with sound transporting you into the life of the storyteller. From the stereotype of the angry Black women to the issue of different Black skin tones, stories from The Stoop cover a wide range of important topics with grace, respect, and intelligence. And it's an excellent way to consider the new perspectives and learn about some of the issues that are important to people. In this episode of The Stoop, called Afro-Vegan Stirring the Pot, Layla and Hannah explore veganism in the Black community. Afro-vegan chef Bryant Terry joins the show to talk about his experience with veganism and some of the elitist stereotypes that accompany being a Black vegan. In this sample, Bryant talks about his very first introduction to the questioning of meat eating, which came in the form of a hip-hop song.
But, you know, growing up and eating a very diverse, omnivorous diet, and then in high school hearing this hip-hop song, and I always think it's important for me, you know, this is my little political intervention around the vilification of hip-hop, and just, like, kind of remembering that period when I was...
What hip-hop song?
Well, the song was called Beef by the rapper KRS-One and Breakdown Productions.
The child doesn't grow fast enough for man, so through his greed he makes a faster plan. He has drugs to make the cow
KRS-One was talking about factory farming. He was talking about the impact of factory farming on animals, on the environment, on human health. And for that analysis, you know, for me as someone who didn't know anything about these issues, who kind of bought into this American corporate and let me just say lie. I'm trying to be all, like, diplomatic, but this lie that animals are treated nicely in our industrialized food system, and then just really pulling the curtain and talking about the horrible way in which they're treated, the horrible impact that it has on our environment, the negative impact it has on human health. And I was floored. You know, I just really, my dad will tell you, I just, you know, I wasn't even speaking for the rest of the day after hearing this, because I went up and told him I wanted him to buy me this tape. Because we listened to tapes back then. And so, yeah, like, that was kind of this political awakening for me around food issues. And then I went into this period of being whatever your stereotype of the most self-righteous, dogmatic, judgmental, finger-wagging, on the soapbox, haranguing vegan. That was who I was for a period, a long period after that. And, you know, the thing is, that period in my life was so important. And even going through that phase of being so militant in my views, because it certainly has informed the way that I think about education now. And I know that the least effective way of helping people to think differently about their habits and their attitudes and their politics is yelling at them, screaming at them, telling them they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it's really given me a lot of tools to think about the most effective ways of meeting people where they're at, and then helping to kind of, like, you know, move them along.
That was The Stoop with Layla Day and Hannah Baba. You can hear even more discussions on the Black diaspora with The Stoop, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. Now, our local podcast feature. This week's feature comes to you from a table at Cincinnati's famous Price Hill Chili. Local business owner and Cincinnatian, Pete Witte, brings you live from Table One, an interview podcast featuring guests who are making an impact on our region. Sometimes political, sometimes not. Live from Table One brings you face to face with some of the most important and influential figures in Cincinnati. The discussions are lively and informative and filled with ambient sound from one of Cincy's favorite chili spots. Whether it's WCPO's Catherine Nero or Cincinnati City Councilman P.G. Sittenfeld, Pete Witte's always got someone he wants you to meet. In a recent episode of Live from Table One, Pete features Ohio Democratic Party Chairman David Pepper. David joins the show to talk politics, Cincy sports, and his recent excursion into fiction writing. In this clip, David talks about the coincidental similarities in the events of his book and the 2016 presidential election.
So in your book, there's Russian interference with our elections here in the United States. It becomes very relevant. This right. is after you've published the book.
Right.
As the Trump victory plays out, and you start to hear the murmur and the mumble about Russian interference.
Right.
When do you start going, wait a second?
Yeah.
I wrote a book that's kind of related to this.
Yeah.
When did you start to feel like, what? I kind of said this.
So what's funny is I did not write the book to predict anything. That was not my goal. I had no idea. I mean, I started writing the book in like 2011. You know, Russia wasn't even interfering in sort of, remember, Russia interfered in Georgia. And
right.
That hadn't even happened yet. As you know, I worked in Russia in the 90s. The reason I came up with my Russian character was because of that.
Right.
It wasn't because of, you know, current
some
events.
Inside knowledge.
So when I first put the book out, my goal was for people to say, wow, that's, and I heard this all the time, David, that's a scary book. Do you think that could really happen? And that's what I heard from like July, August, September of 16 when the book came out. But then, yeah, around November and December, when people really started to hear about this, and ever since, that's when it went from being, wow, this is scary, could this happen, to, this
hey,
what the heck did you know?
Right.
I mean, I it was in one article. I had someone on Twitter who started stalking me because he was convinced I was a Russian spy. And because he said, how would you have known? And of course, my answer would be, I would be a really bad spy if I revealed my plot through a novel form.
Yeah, right.
Like, before it happened. But it did. And people ask, well, how do you think you ended up predicting, you know, a lot of the general themes? And the point of the book, sort of forget the storytelling side, the serious part of the book was to say, listen, and this is bipartisan, and one thing I like about the book is people from all parties have responded well. My point is to say our political system is so screwed up. It's so dysfunctional. Gerrymandering, election machines, it's so partisan, the media, all the chaos, that it's become a real weakness to our country. And oftentimes in our own country, we don't see it that way because we're so split up along party lines that if I say gerrymandering's bad, the other side says no, it's not. But
right, right.
So my point is, if you remove the partisanship and you just size up our political system and you look at how dysfunctional it is, it's actually a deeper weakness than just a back and forth of politics. You know, economically we're strong. We have the biggest military in the world. But if you're a keen foreign observer and you actually want to figure out how can I get to America, our political dysfunction is our soft underbelly. That was sort of the point of the book, and I use a Russian as the person who figures it out. And so in a weird way, my thought process and that Russian was doing the same exercise that Vladimir Putin was doing. He was literally trying to figure out, how do I mess with America? Well, I was being very realistic, trying to figure it out, and obviously that's what really happened.
Right.
And so I think by being an author trying to tell that story, I put myself in the same mindset of someone in real life who was doing the same thing.
A snippet from Live from Table One with host Pete Witte. Hear more from Cincinnati's biggest influencers on Live from Table One, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go, our weekly look at what's topping the Apple Podcast charts via iTunescharts.net. First, Oprah's Masterclass podcast, introduced just a month ago, continues to pop in and out of the top of the charts, depending on which superstar she's interviewing. And also, other number one positions in the past week are shared by The Wilderness podcast about the Democratic Party and the Aaron Mankey's Cabinet of Curiosity podcast about those unbelievable, unsettling, and bizarre stories. There you have it, a look at what's hot on the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has Earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.